Welcome to A Magical Life, Health, Wealth and Weight Loss. I'm your host, Magic Barclay, lead practitioner at Holistic Natural Health Australia and number one best-selling author. In this podcast, I aim to give you practical tips on how to accelerate and sustain your health, increase your financial, spiritual and emotional wealth, and to look at something that haunts many of us needlessly, weight loss. In some episodes, I'll have guests available to give you even more tips, but in others, the floor is yours. Drop us a line at A Magical Life Podcast on Facebook and let me know what you would like to know more about. Now, sit back and enjoy, because it is time for you to create and truly discover a magical life. Welcome back to A Magical Life. I'm your host, Magic Barclay, and I'm again joined today by Zane Truscott. Zane is a founder of multiple healthy lifestyle brands, including Fortune Education, Tolman Self-Care, and The Cleanse Kitchen. Since 2006, Zane has been best known for his work as chief promoter and host of Don Tolman's Whole Food Wisdom Seminars in Australia, bringing reputation and insight to the empowered health movement. Zane is also the CEO and content strategist at Tolman Self-Care, an e-commerce company that offers free education and a boutique range of handcrafted whole food, skincare, and personal care products shipped directly to households all across the globe. Having facilitated the message of self-care to thousands of people from all walks of life, Zane believes that the biggest health crisis in the world today is a lack of consciousness and personal responsibility when it comes to people's physical, mental, and emotional wellness. Since overcoming his own health challenges as a teenager, Zane has spent the past 30 years refining his own self-reliant wellness philosophy to live a healthy, active lifestyle whilst running multiple businesses, raising a family, and maintaining his passion for mountain sports. The next phase of Zane's career is all about empowering 40-plus-year-olds to reclaim their inner wellness fire by helping them to think well, eat well, move well, and live well. Welcome, Zane.
Well, great to be back with you once again, Magic. How are you doing?
Yeah, doing great. Not as great as you. Morning swim this morning.
Yeah. I just joined this swimming group down in a place called Talabudra Creek, which is just a little inlet that comes off the ocean there on the Burley Headland. And we swim across to the headland and back a few times and jog up the beach. And it's just really great to get down there at about 5:30 in the morning and watch that beautiful sun start to peek through and to get the blood moving. That's what it's all about.
And such a beautiful place too.
It is. We're truly blessed up here, you know, and thankfully this last 12 months we haven't had it quite as tough as you guys and other people around the country. So, look, it's kind of the reason why there's been a mass exodus of people coming up to southern Queensland, and you can hardly blame them because it really is God's country up here.
It truly is. Now, today we're talking about the 7 steps to vibrant wellness. We alluded to this last time you're on the podcast, and I really think it probably deserves its own time now. So normally, you know, we go through the same 3 questions. We're kind of going to skip that a little bit today. Everything, listeners, that Zane is talking about today, the whole 7 steps, will apply to your health, your wealth, be it personal, financial, emotional, spiritual, and also obviously to your weight, because a healthy body does not need to store toxins, and fat stores toxins. So you are not fat, you're toxic. And I'm speaking for myself there. Numerous years of stress and divorce and life getting in the way have led to my weight gain, weight loss roller coaster. So no matter what position you're finding yourself in today, listener, these 7 steps can help you, and applying them, and Zane will explain them all, but applying them will help with your health, your wealth, and your weight loss. Let's get started, Zane. What's step number 1?
Thanks, Magic. Look, I'm just going to skim over the seven steps, if you like, and then we can sort of dig into each one. But before I do that, I just want to kind of mention the fact that, you know, some of your listeners may be aware of the Tolmans, Don and Tyler. And for those of you listening who don't know, my wife Inga and I actually teamed up with Don back in 2006, and we basically spent 14 and a half years traveling around the country and helping Don to really spread his message of self-care. And, you know, the real centerpiece to Don's message is, you know, not only whole foods and whole food medicine and how plants really speak sign language to the human body and to the cells, you know, but also the ancient wisdom of the seven principles of health. And so what I'm going to share with you today is kind of an extension of that. So I'm not just regurgitating the seven principles that Don shares. And for those of you who don't know what they are, very, very simple. It's just air, water, sunshine, walking, whole foods, non-toxic relationships, and passion. So I'm sure we can all agree that those principles are really, really straightforward and common sense principles. But of course, most of us know that common sense isn't that common anymore, and particularly when it comes to our health. And so, yeah, I've basically spent the last 30 years on my own personal journey, having experienced some pretty significant emotional and physical health challenges as a kid, particularly in my late teens. And I came across a book called Fit for Life, and by a couple by the name of Harvey and Marilyn Diamond in the late 80s. And the principles in that book were all based on a Greek natural clean eating principle called orthopathy. And it goes way, way back. But you know, the Greeks were among, you know, the most cleanest together with the Egyptians in terms of the way they approached their diet and lifestyle. They're among the cleanest cultures in the world. And
just on that there, Zane, I'm just going to stop you there for a minute. Just backing up what you're saying about the Greeks, the great philosopher Epicurus actually created an academy. And in that academy, you could not share food. Like, it was an open air academy where you could have a meal, but you could not have a meal unless you were prepared to sing, dance, communicate, talk, and be positive. If you brought any negativity, if you did not want to participate, did not want to share, you could not live the true Epicurean lifestyle. So we've lost so much of that, haven't we?
We have, you know, and if there's one thing I've learned over the last 15 years of working with Don, it's that, you know, the ancient wisdom of longevity and self-care and self-healing and understanding nature and plants and how everything ties together, and that ultimately human beings are a microcosm of the macrocosm. You know, we really do blend and tie in and speak to nature. It's just that we've just lost that consciousness. And you're 100% right. You know, most people today have absolutely no understanding of you know, our ancestry and cultures before us and the way that they lived. And they were just such brilliant observers in nature, you know, and they understood things just purely out of intuitive sense and observation. And, you know, today we're, you know, we're too busy just sort of, you know, dialing up Uber Eats, or, you know, we're just at the supermarket where 95% of the foods on the shelf are processed or refined or packaged, and they look colourful and appealing, but they're addictive and they're causing us inflammation. And when you're inflamed, you've got acid in your body. And when you've got acid in your body, you've got disease. So yeah, it's all of this basic wisdom that we're going to touch on today, Magic. But fundamentally, we've lost our way when it comes to the wisdom that our ancestors once had.
I think humans these days have gotten so good at being busy. You talk to someone and they go, "I haven't got time for that. I'm too busy." Doing what? What is so, you know, earth-shattering that you can't look after yourself, or you at least can't try? And, you know, part of my idea of bringing this podcast to all the listeners out there is, yes, you are busy. I get it. But while you're walking, while you're shopping, while you're driving, listen to this, empower yourself, and tap into all this great free wisdom and knowledge that we're sharing.
So true, so true. And, you know, with a little bit of consciousness, doesn't take a lot, but just with a little bit of consciousness, forget listening to the morning news or the radio, just, you know, put something into your mind that sort of really stimulates, you know, that imagination and that creative, intuitive and you know, expansive thought process. And I think we all need to do a little bit of that every day. Otherwise, we just kind of become very passive and benign in the way that we approach our life. And you're 100% right as well. You know, most people put their health on the back burner, you know, in search of a job and a career and a business and a family and a mortgage and all of the things that when we get into our middle age, as certainly I am and you are too, Magic, you know, we know we've got a lot of the trials and tribulations of raising kids, relationships, families, business, life, you know, all of the stuff that's very, very difficult to explain to a 20 or even a 30-year-old. And so we come from a place of understanding on how tough it is. And but if there's one thing I've come to realize, Magic, over the years, it's that complexity is really the enemy of execution. Complexity is the enemy of execution. And so one of the big problems we've got today when it comes to health and wellness is that there's so much rubbish and misinformation just being jammed down our throats, you know. So it's little wonder that we're getting sicker as a population. It's little wonder that people don't really know what to do. You know, it's little wonder that people are confused. And, you know, I say a lot, you know, the odds are really stacked against us and they're stacked against humanity right now. And it's not to be, you know, alarmist or conspiratorial or any of those things. It's just the reality that we're faced, you know, at a time and space in history where big conglomerates, big agendas, big governments, you know, they all have an agenda that's not necessarily the best for us. And so, you know, this really highlights for me why self-care is just such a critical wisdom and such a simple wisdom that we've got to get back to. And so, yeah, I think that's probably a nice little segue into what we're going to talk about today. But I like to really hammer home the point that it doesn't really matter how many principles we talk about without consciousness, without raising our vibration and raising our awareness and being hungry to proactively learn and never stop learning, none of it matters, you know. And so for me, fundamentally, it gets to that frame of mind that we need to, you know, start and approach each day with.
Totally. And just remember, listeners, we talked about this in episode 43 when I talked about cortisol. Your thoughts are toxins. Your thoughts against yourself, your thoughts about your community, your neighbours, they can be toxic. So you can't escape you. Your body, your adrenals know when you are putting yourself down, when you are saying, I am too busy to eat a piece of fruit, to walk in the sun, to take my shoes off and feel the earth. Your body can hear those thoughts, and that creates a toxic snowball effect, if you will, inside your body. So having said that, it's time to empower yourself. It's time to take charge, and let's get started with these 7 steps, Zane.
Fantastic. So I'm just going to run through them real quick, Magic, and then we can dig in. You can ask whatever questions you like. But 7 steps to vital wellness. So the first thing we've got to do is we've got to reduce our toxicity. In fact, I'll just run through them. So number one is reduce toxicity. Number two is to boost hydration. We all know we've got to drink water, but how much water we drink is really, really important. And also when we drink. So number two is boost hydration. Number three is heal your gut. Gut health is absolutely critical. Number four is cycled fasting, otherwise known as intermittent fasting, which is more of a lifestyle type of fasting that you can incorporate into your week to week and everyday life without disrupting your lifestyle. Number five is functional movement. Functional movement. Number six is practice your passion. And number seven is build mental muscle.
Those seven steps, they're just so fantastic. I love them, and they're everything that my team at Holistic Natural Health Australia talk about. So let's dive in.
Great. So, Magic, reduce toxicity. So, you know, Don used to talk about how, as an analogy for everybody to just really understand as a starting point here, the word body actually comes of the word abode, meaning place where we live. And so our body can be kind of, you know, atoned or akin to the house in which we live. And we all know that we can't build a house unless it has strong foundations. And so, you know, it's a really good fundamental insight for us to have when we're looking at our health, to realize that without the basics right, without doing the little things right on a daily basis, without that simple, robust framework in place, it really doesn't matter what we do. We're always going to be on the merry-go-round. We're always going to be, you know, dabbling here and dabbling there. And sometimes we'll get little periods where we're feeling good and we're looking great, but then we'll sort of slip right back. So what I'm really big on is ensuring that those fundamentals, those seven principles of health, the air, water, sunshine, whole foods, passion, walking, non-toxic relationships, like those things there, they are the absolute fundamentals. So that's your baseline. So what I'd say to anybody listening here is that if you're coming from a low base from a health point of view, start there. Start by breathing clean air every single morning. You know, if you work in an office, get outside on the hour, every hour, just for 5 minutes and do some deep breathing, get some electric air into yourself. Make sure you're walking 30 to 45 minutes per day as a bare minimum in the morning if you can. Make sure that 80% of your diet is whole plant food based. You know, the other 20% you can mix and match and do what you like, but at least make sure that 80% of your diet is from nature's table. Okay, what else we got? We've got sunshine. Make sure that you're getting sunshine. It's the primary source of vitamin D for the liver, which your liver needs to perform so many vital functions, not the least of which is your to ensure that your immune system is functioning correctly. And then we go into some of the less tangible ones like relationships, you know, making sure that we're around positive, loving, connected relationships and doing all that we can to spend as much time in that space as possible, which is just so crucial for our emotional well-being. And then, of course, having a passion about something, which we'll dive into here as well. So there's your starting point. And then what we're going to talk about here is kind of just leveling things up a bit extra and just realizing, well, yep, I've got those down pat. I may not be perfect in all of those seven principles, but I'm very aware of them. I'm very conscious of them. And I'm always trying to, you know, improve in those areas. And maybe I'm really dominant in three or four and there's two or three that I need to work on. But just being really conscious that that's your starting point.
True. And just on that, listeners, don't beat yourself up. You know, if you don't feel you have great relationships or you don't feel you have access to enough whole foods, don't put yourself down for it, because the tiniest steps mean you're already ahead of the game. You don't need to compare yourself to others. You just need to live within your own life, your own capabilities, and accept every positive step as what it is, a positive step.
It's really true. You know, instead of looking at the whole staircase, we just need to look at one step, you know, and it's very easy for us to become overwhelmed in this area of health, particularly if we've had some health challenges or, you know, we've been on the merry-go-round when it comes to you know, to weight loss, dieting, that kind of a thing. We've had some emotional trauma. You know, so there's lots of reasons why, and none of us are immune to it. I mean, I've had the same. It's just that I've, you know, it's happened for me in different ways, you know, but But the point is that we're all human. We all go through our ups and downs. We all fall off the wagon from time to time. And, you know, we just got to understand that, you know, if we're coming from a place of self-care, then we really are very conscious of the fact that if it's going to be, it's up to me, you know, and we come into this world alone and we leave it alone for the most part. And it means that what we do in the middle from when we arrive here and when we leave here needs to really honor the fact that we have this life, you know, we have this body, we have this mind, and all of the things that we do between when we arrive here and when we leave here, you know, fundamentally dictates the quality of the life that we have. And there's nothing more important to any of us than our health. Our health physically, our health emotionally, our health spiritually, even our health, you know, financially, you know, and particularly now when we need to start really taking stock of where we're at and making sure that our house is in order from a financial point of view, because no one knows what's coming down the pipe, but it doesn't look pretty. So let's jump into step number one. Step number one is about reducing your toxic load or reducing toxicity. Now, for me, this is fundamental because, you know, it's really difficult to do anything sustainable in your life from a dietary perspective, from a personal care perspective, unless you're embracing foods and products and household items and your environment is in a low tox zone. And the big problem is that most of us don't even realize that we're exposing ourselves to toxicity. But, you know, the reality is that there are so many hidden toxins in the foods that we eat, in the products that we use, in our general living quarters, to some extent in our environment, depending on where we live and where we work. And so fundamentally, we have to really be very, very aware of the part that toxicity plays in health. You know, I did a webinar with Tyler Tolman last week, and he basically spent the best part of 90 minutes just talking about toxicity and how it works in the body. And fundamentally, there are only really two causes of disease, and that is either toxicity or deficiency. But by far and away, the major cause of disease is actually toxicity. And our body has an incredible ability to draw nutrients from so many different areas. So toxicity is by far and away number one. And so we've got to understand what toxicity is. And basically, toxicity is interference. And so when our body is in a natural, healthy, robust state, it's in a state that we know as homeostasis. Everything's working the way that it should. It's working optimally. There's no interference. There's no inflammation. There's no pain. There's no dis-ease. There's no discomfort. And so if our body is out of homeostasis, it's generally because it's a response to some form of toxicity in the body. Now, that may not necessarily happen in 5 minutes. It can happen over a lifetime. It can happen over several years. You know, cancer doesn't just appear. It doesn't just show up because you know, let your hair down one day and ate everything that you could see in sight that was not good for you. You know, it takes time for cancer to form. And this is why it takes time for people to heal. Because if it takes years for cancer to form or for some kind of autoimmune condition or depression or, you know, whatever it may be, it stands to reason that it's going to take some time for you to undo that. Now, you can undo it a lot quicker than you did it by transforming your habits. There's no two ways about that. And by coming from a different place environmentally, from a mindset point of view. But I really just want people to understand, I mean, we can talk for hours about the toxicities in foods and personal care products and household items, but, you know, I don't really want to spend too much time on that this morning, Magic, but just to say that, you know, 95% of the foods that you eat are inflammatory, they're acid forming, and they cause toxicity in your body. So they are things like refined flour, refined sugar, white bread, white pasta, white rice, anything that's white, anything that's been modified from its naturally occurring state. That's the way to look at foods. When you pick up a food, you look at the food, quite often it'll be obvious, particularly if it's got artificial sweeteners and artificial flavorings and artificial colorings and preservatives in it, you'll know, stands out. But sometimes some of the chemicals in foods, we have to dig a little bit deeper. We have to ask ourselves, gee, is this pasta that we're picking up, is this actually an inflammatory acid-forming food? And it's not always obvious that it is. And so you have to be, you know, with consciousness, you start to realize that, yeah, well, you know, this is probably not the best choice for me to put into my trolley today. So we've got toxicity in our foods. The big culprits, of course, are not only the refined grains and the refined sugars, but also additives, you know, chemical additives like MSG, which most of us are familiar with. And then there's a whole bunch of others. But anything that has preservatives or chemical additives in it is designed for one of two purposes. Number one, to either increase shelf life, or number two, to increase its appeal and its addiction, or the addictive response to it, if you like. You know, and that's why so many of the snack foods that we see and the sauces and all of that, there's massive businesses behind that are really tailored to have people coming back for more and more and more and more. And people don't even realize that they're addicted to those foods.
And it starts with the advertising for these. If it has to have an ad behind it to tell you how great it is, then it's probably something you need to give a think about. Even bananas, for example, there's ads about eating bananas, but you've got to look at where those bananas have come from. When were they actually picked? Have they been in cool storage? Have they been gassed to be ripened? So if in the middle of winter you're seeing an ad on TV to eat some bananas because they're great for you, that's not the time you want to be eating them. They're not real bananas. They were picked, you know, 6 to 8 months ago, green, and put into storage and gassed to ripen. So if anything has letters to abbreviate it, ads behind it to push it, or numbers on its label or numbers in its name, stay away.
They're very, very true. And you know, when it comes to whole foods, Magic, you're 100% right. You know, there are big issues with mass farming these days in terms of chemicals used, in terms of how transportation happens, storage, and all of that. And that's why, you know, certainly for my family, when we shop for fresh produce, 9 times out of 10, we go to our local farmers markets on a Saturday, and that's when we load up on all the goodies. And you know, the good thing about that is that the stuff is locally grown. You know, it hasn't been in storage for weeks on end. Typically, a lot of the produce that these small micro farms use are spray free. So you know, it's a great way to just sort of really embrace more whole foods in your diet. You get to see all of the color on display. You know, there's an emotional attachment to it because it's always a great vibe when you're at your farmer's markets and everyone's happy, you know, and they're outside and they're in the sun. And so I always find that it's just a great place to get your fresh produce. So much better than a supermarket where, you know, the air is air conditioned and the products on the shelf are, you know, typically been sprayed and they've been there for God knows how long, as you say. So just a little tip for everybody there. When it comes to whole foods and fresh produce, do whatever you can to find a local farmer's market, or at the very least, a local fruit and veggie store that's sources their produce locally. Because the other thing about produce is that, again, something I learned from Don, this is a really, really important wisdom for people to understand, that when plants are grown in the same temperate zone in which you live, those plants share a similar oscillating frequency to our cells. So in other words, they just have a resonance with our cells. So the more you can buy fruit and veggies locally, the better it is for you in terms of, you know, cellular recognition and immunity and uptake and nutrients and all that kind of a thing. So I just thought I'd throw that in there.
And another tip, listeners, if you can only grow tomatoes in your backyard, but someone else is really good with growing zucchinis, do a swap. Grow them organically in your own yard. They'll have that energetic resonance that Zane was just mentioning, and you can actually swap foods and share your produce around your local community. You know, this is a great way to reduce that toxic behavior as well.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, I think people are more and more sort of starting to set up their own little herb gardens at the very least at home, and sometimes, you know, growing their own parsley and lettuce and tomatoes and things like that. And we did the same last year. We've got a bit of space in the front yard, and we got these two big timber herb gardens put in by our gardener. And we've had a few learning curves, I must say, because it's our first foray into gardening, but we're learning what works and what doesn't. But it's interesting how just to watch plants and how they respond to certain environments, and you begin to sort of see fruit and veggies through a different set of eyes because you realise, well, maybe, you know, zucchinis aren't quite happy here, or maybe this isn't the time to grow tomatoes, or maybe, you know, growing the lettuce here right, you know, smack bang in the middle of the sunshine it's not that happy, you know. And so you get to sort of see and connect with food and produce at a different level when you start to grow it yourself, which I think is really, really cool.
True. And just while we're on growing produce, please do not use netting on your food. It will absolutely devastate the animals around you, and you need those animals to pollinate and help propagate your food, especially for the next season. So do not use fruit netting. If you must, just get little laundry bags and just zip them over a small bunch of fruit or a small patch of veggies. Leave the rest for the animals, because you need them to come and disperse the seeds. You need them to come and pollinate, and you really don't want a wildlife rescuer on your doorstep trashing your expensive fruit net because something has been stuck in it. So there's that. Why don't we get on to tip number two, boosting hydration. How do we do that?
Well, we all know that we need to drink water. Most of us are very aware of that. It's not rocket science. We just have to understand that, you know, somewhere between 70 and 80% of our body and brain combined consist of water. And what a lot of people don't realise is that the brain, the weight of the brain, is around 2 litres of water. And it's meant to replace itself every 24 hours. And when you drink water, there's a process called capillary precipitation that takes place, where the brain actually gets first dubs or first call on the water that goes into the stomach. And it's why when you drink really cold water, quite often you just feel it immediately in the frontal lobes of the brain. It's like a brain freeze kind of reaction. It's because the brain is responding to the water that's entered the stomach, and it's saying, hey, I'm here. You need to hydrate me first. I'm the commander in chief. And so it's so important that we realize that at the very least, every single day, we should be replacing the weight of the brain in water content every 24 hours. So what does that mean? It means drinking at the very minimum 2 litres of water per day. Okay. So I don't know about you, Magic, but I know a lot of people who don't even do that.
Oh, totally. Now, when we're talking water, folks, we're not talking tap water. We're talking clean, mineralized, energized water.
Yeah, and there's, you know, 100 different types of water you can drink. You know, Don often teaches people that the best water for us is actually the same water that rain makes, which is ultimately distilled water. And there's some cool little distillers in that you can get your hands on these days and just use your normal tap water and then put it through the distiller and you've got distilled water at home. And then you can remineralize it by putting it in a glass container and setting it out into the sun for an hour or so, hour and a half, and then that remineralizes the water. You can also add a little tiny pinch of Celtic sea salt or Himalayan salt and store it in the refrigerator for later on for when you're going to drink it. But you know, there's well water, there's aquifer water, there's spring water, there's all these fantastic ceramic filters, filtration systems, and there's reverse osmosis water, there's alkaline water.
I think the list could just keep going on. Listeners, it's really important to know not to store your water in plastic. It's okay for very short term if you're just about to drink it, but don't store it in the plastic and let it sit there, because that will actually leach toxins into the water.
Yeah, those toxic chemicals, the BPAs, they sublimate into the water, and of course then we've got problems, particularly when plastic bottles are subjected to heat. So it's a really important point that you make there, Magic. So really the bottom line to water is we can get all caught up in the different types of water to drink and all of that. And sometimes when we do that, again, it gets back to this concept of complexity is the enemy of execution. The more complex we want to make this whole conversation around water, the less chance that we're actually going to do something about it. And the point I wanted to simply make to everybody who's listening today is that get water into your body every single day, at least 2 liters. Yes, avoid tap water, so long as it's filtered. If you can get alkaline water, if you can get distilled water, if you can get aquifer water. Personally, I like accessing water that comes from an artesian spring. And there's a couple of brands in particular that I buy from my Flannery's. If you can't get that, or you don't want to go to the expense of purchasing water, then just make sure you get a decent filtration system at home and you're good to go. But essentially 2 liters of water as an absolute minimum per day. One of the best ways to get that done is when you wake up before you do anything is to get at least 500 mil to a liter in that first hour when you rise. So get up, 500 mil, add a little bit of lemon juice if you like, a couple of drops of lemon essential oil is always a really handy, fantastic way to go. In fact, there's 3 oils I like to use when I wake up in my water that I sort of rotate, but you can use lime. They're all citrus. You can use lemon. You can also use, I love the grapefruit, doTERRA grapefruit oil as well. So just, you know, pour a nice big glass of cold water, add a couple of drops of oils. That's going to help to electrify the cells, nourish the cells. It's going to help activate digestion, waste elimination, which is important early in the morning. And then go out for your walk. Go out for your walk or your morning exercise, whatever it is that you like to do in the morning. But I certainly hope that one of the first things you do is exercise after you get that water in. So the next level of water intake would be to move towards 1 liter per 22 kilos of body weight. Okay, and there's a lot of science and research and wisdom around that. So for somebody who weighs, for the sake of discussion, you know, 65 around that kind of kilos, then that would be 3 liters of water per day. 1 liter per 22 kilos is what you should be aiming for. And, you know, wherever you go, like every time I leave the house, I've always got my bottle of water with me. I never get in the car without water. When I'm sitting at my desk, I've always got water there. So, you know, when water becomes a habit, you get through the water that you need every single day, and you never have headaches. You know, you never have brain fog. You're always on with your focus. Your energy is always good. Your digestive system is always working great. So it's a really key, key point for us to hammer home, the water.
Totally. So now that we're very well hydrated, of course, that leads to healing your gut.
Yeah, so healing your gut, I mean, I've put it in as number three, but it kind of could fit anywhere really. But the reason why I think it kind of needs to be up the scale is because, most people have no idea about gut health, and yet, you go back to Hippocrates, the ancient Greek physician who was widely regarded as the founding father of modern medicine, medical system, before it became what it is today. He used to teach that all disease begins in the gut. And so when you have that understanding and something, a wisdom that they understood, centuries ago, and you bring that into today's world, it's no wonder that we have the inflammation and the sickness and the disease and all of that right now. And you know what gets me magic is that throughout all this COVID thing and all of that, there's not one health official, not one, that gets up there in their press conferences and publicly recommends or announces to the people how important it is to get vitamin D, to get out into the sun, to make sure your gut health is robust, to build your immune system. Not one.
Even pre-COVID world, I don't even know what you can call that now, Zane, COVID world. Anyway, people weren't recognizing that you actually have two brains in your body. One is in your head and the other is your gut. And I know Don talks about, the times that you may have felt like you needed to cross the road, but something in your gut said, don't step into the road or the bus will get you. And then the bus goes zooming through. We've lost that connection with that second brain.
Yeah, and that's where the saying trust your gut ties in. I know that's more to do with intuition and all of that, but you can also apply it to the centerpiece to your health. Trust your gut. What's going on in your gut? What's going on in your environment, in your health? Have you got niggles? Have you got ailments? Have you got congestion? Have you got digestive problems? Have you got skin issues? Are you always low on energy? Do you suffer from fatigue? Do you have really disruptive sleep patterns? All of those things fundamentally are tied back to the health of your gut. So whenever you've got those things going on, just say, hey, trust your gut, get back to your gut health. And so I can give you a few tips, your listeners, a few tips here this morning, Magic, around how we build robust gut health.
Yep, let's quickly zoom through them because we've got a lot more steps to cover, but give us two major tips to healing the gut.
Okay, well, number one is to clean your gut. We've got to realise that the gut microbiome consists of colonies and colonies, millions of colonies of bacteria. Some are good and some are bad. And it really doesn't matter how good your diet is over the course of time, unless you allow your gut to reset and you support a reset from time to time to allow your body to dismiss and to extract the bad bacteria, you are going to have a suppressed situation with your immunity over time. And if you suffer from any kind of ailments, then it's generally going to be because your gut microbiome is out of whack. So step number one is to every change of season, every 3 months, to do some form of a colon cleanse and or a juice fast for anywhere from 3 to 7 days, depending on your individual situation. The second step would be to ensure that every single week in your diet, you are eating fermented foods, because fermented foods cultivate healthy bacteria in the gut by way of what we know as probiotics. And so, yes, you can get probiotics that are powdered form and in supplement form. That's not how I like to access my probiotics. I like to do it by way of foods. And the most common foods that contain probiotics are olives, their sauerkraut, their kimchi, foods like, if you're not against animal products, you can have organic dairy, white cheeses, organic yogurt, kefir, those kinds of things. Even tempeh and miso are great ways to go as well. So, and then if you want some drinks, you know, like kombucha is a great probiotic drink that you can have. So just ensuring that you get a selection of fermented foods incorporated into your diet on a weekly basis is really, really going to help to cultivate those healthy bacteria in the gut.
Listeners, this is a very important community announcement for you. Before you eat fermented foods, before you go down that road, you should book in your health consultation, your free health consultation at Holistic Natural Health, because depending on your immune system, some fermented foods may actually trigger an illness response. So sauerkraut is not for everybody. It is great for some people. Dairy is not for everybody. It is great for some people. Zane is talking here in general terms about things that can be great for you, but I highly recommend getting your immune typing done. It is a free service that the team at Holistic Natural Health do. And the list that Zane just gave you, some of those will be good for you, some of those will be not so great. So really important to know what you're dealing with internally. Of course, the advice that we all give here is generalized, but get that individualized typing done of your immune system.
No, great point, Magic. And I know that you deal with this stuff all the time. And, you know, it is true that people respond differently to different foods. And I mean, we've had a lot of people in our community over the years who have been vegan, who have had a lot of gut health issues because they don't get enough fermented foods into their diet. And most people who, you know, they might be vegetarian and they still eat dairy products, organic, you know, raw dairy in particular, can be really good for helping to cultivate good bacteria. But for some people, there are lots of reasons why they can't and that they have reactions to that. So great point. You know, it's just about doing what works for you. Again, trusting your gut and finding those foods that that really work for you. But it is so important to ensure that you are getting fermented foods, whichever ones work for you, into your diet on a regular basis.
Practice your passion. I think that's something maybe the listeners need to really hear today.
Yeah, I agree. Passion is one of those things that as time goes on, we can easily lose touch with. And, you know, the word passion, it's interesting, has its origins as a compound word, meaning passing of ions. And if you think about it, what that really means is that it's having a passion is about having some form of electrical stimulus inside of you. You know, it's what lights you up. It's kind of having that spark to get you through time and space. And, you know, the wonderful thing about having a passion is that it can overcome, you know, a crappy diet. It can overcome a lack of exercise. It can overcome, you know, a lack of exposure to nature and sunshine and fresh air. And a lot of the seven principles of health, you may be, you know, only a 4 or 5 out of 10. But if you've got a passion about something and you're really, you know, vibrate with it, you know, at a high level, and you resonate with it and you do it often, it's interesting how the emotional frequencies of energy that come into your body as a result of your attachment to that passion can kind of absolve a lot of the health challenges, physical health challenges that we have. And so passion is absolutely crucial. I always say that as kids, we are exposed to a lot of different things and we don't quite know what it is that, you know, we're going to attach to, that we're going to resonate with, that's going to become a love for us. Our parents don't know it. We don't know it. Sometimes we're pushed into certain things that aren't really a part of us. But through that exposure and that experience, as young people in our formative years, we naturally gravitate to things that we're passionate about, things that we enjoy, things that we love. And it's such a wonderful thing when you're a kid and you're experiencing all of these things and you do find those one or two things that you really, really love. I mean, for me, I was exposed to a lot of different things and music and sports. And I was kind of a jack of all trades as a kid. And my mum and my dad had me involved in a lot of different things and throughout my childhood. And whilst I didn't really get to excel at an exceptionally high level on any of those particular activities, the beautiful thing was that I got to kind of really feel what it was that I loved to do. And one of those things was I loved my BMX bike, and I used to every weekend, every afternoon after school, I was always riding it, and I was down at the BMX bike park. And I've transposed that love of my BMX bike when I was, you know, 8, 10, 12 years old to being 48 today. And for the last 8-9 years, I've been very active as a mountain biker. And so, you know, it's interesting how when you don't let that music die within you, you know, that spark that you have when you're a kid and you hang on to that, because we all have still a little bit of a child inside of us. You know, and once that actually dies, that's when we start to really lose touch with our true selves, I believe. And so for me, it's just so important that we keep reflecting on the things that were of interest to us that we loved as kids, and that we try and find ways to incorporate those things into our life as we age. And some things we just can't physically do anymore. You know, there are physical reasons why we can't do what we once did, and that's fine. Maybe there's a modification of that, you know. I mean, I know that as soon as I don't have the fitness or whatever to mountain bike anymore, well, I'm gonna be going on an e-bike. I'll be riding an e-bike when I'm 60. Which
you see, you're putting down the road on your e-bike.
Yeah, so well, I won't be down the road. I'll be up the mountain on it. But so I've already thought that far ahead, you know, and that's what I'll be doing. But I just think, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be physical. It can be painting. It can be music. It can be, you know, writing books. It can be, you know, making macrame or pottery, or it can be so many different things.
Great point. I used to love, of course, you know, child growing up in the 80s, same age as you, Zane, and I used to love Australian pub music. And I can't go to pubs anymore. There is no live music here anymore. And the bands that I used to listen to, the guys are all 10, 20 years older than me. They're old guys now, older dudes. So what I find is listening to that music while I'm doing my housework, while I'm doing my gardening, makes me that more productive, because it taps into memories of years gone by where I was dancing till 4 a.m. at the pub. You know, where I really was happy and connected to my own soul, my own joy. So I modify that and I take my 80s music, you know, on my iPod or my MP3, wherever I am. Sometimes I still even play my vinyl records and blast them through the house. And it just makes the everyday grown-up tasks fun.
Yeah, such a great thing, isn't it? When you can, you know, keep cultivating those interests and those loves that you had as a kid, and keep them with you, you know. And that's cool that you do that. You still got the old vinyl.
Still got the vinyl records, and some of them I've even got several of the same record, because I don't know if listeners remember the 80s, but things used to come out on coloured vinyl collector's editions. So I think there's like one album from Geisha. I've got four different types of it.
So it means you've got the player still, right?
Still got a player.
Must be, what, 30 years old or something?
Actually, no, I bought one several years ago, a new one, and, you know, they are still out there. So if you've got vinyl records, there's nothing like that scratchy sound in the background to make it authentic. Look on the internet, listeners, you might find a record player.
Wow, that's cool to know. I definitely would have thought they're fully obsolete now. You have no chance, but wow, collector's item.
collector's item, exactly. Now, our last point is building mental muscle. Give us one big tip to doing that.
I grew up listening to a lot of personal development. One of the first guys I was exposed to was a gentleman by the name of Jim Rohn. And he was one of the, probably the founding father or the key pioneer, if you like, in the personal development industry, and he's passed on now. But one of the things he used to teach and share a lot was the fact that, you know, every single day we should stand guard at the doorway of our mind and feed it something good. And so, you know, we have to understand that our mindset and our what we expose our mind to, that atmosphere, that environment that we expose our mind to on a daily basis, impacts directly how we feel, so our emotional response, and that emotional response and how we feel impacts the actions we take. And over time, that of course becomes our routines and our habits, and ultimately our routines and our habits, and all sourced from the way that we think and feel, turns into the result, the outcomes that we have in our life. And so the thing about our mind is that we have to understand that our mind is designed to protect us. It wants to keep us safe. You know, it's like we have this invisible wall that kind of is built around our mind, and our mind is always looking for the easy way out. It's always looking for comfort. It's always looking for the safe journey. And that's its default setting. And it's always on alert for things that are risky or stressful or, you know, potentially going to derail us in some way. It's always putting up these warning signs saying, hey, no, I'm here to keep you safe. The problem is that the mind is keeping us safe from doing things that are pretty damn important as well. Things like investing, things like going to the gym, things like, you know, saying no to 95% of the foods on our supermarket shelf and going away with the 5%. So if our mind is benign and it's passive and we're listening to the morning news, and instead of listening to a, you know, an empowering podcast like A Magic Life with Magic Barclay on the way to work or in the morning when we're going to the supermarket, if we're not doing that, instead we're listening to 2GB or, you know, something else, and they're just talking about politics and all the crap that's not going to make any difference to our life, you know, specifically today, we're doing ourselves a disservice by being very aware of our environment, our atmosphere, and what we're feeding our mind on a daily basis. We set ourselves up to feel better, to take the right actions and the right steps that really ultimately cultivate health, wellness, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and even financially.
Totally. Thank you so much, Zane, for your 7 steps to vibrant wellness today. Where can people get hold of you?
If they're on our mailing list at fortuneeducation.com.au, I put out a weekly blog. You can also find me on Facebook at Zane Truscott and on Instagram as well at Zane Truscott. So I'm not that hard to find, Magic.
Fantastic. Listeners, that was your episode 51 of A Magical Life. In episode 52, I'll be talking about coping with loss and major upheaval in your life. Definitely one not to be missed. Coming up in episode 53, we have Tracy Jewell. You may remember her from seeing her on Maths. She will be talking about Upself and the Upself Directory. For now, thank you so much, Zane, for your time.
Thank you, Magic. Pleasure to be here, and good luck with the show. Maybe you'll invite me back sometime.
Definitely. Thanks, listeners. Go forth and create your magical life.
Thanks for listening today. Please subscribe to hear future episodes, leave a review, and share this podcast. You can follow us on Facebook at A Magical Life Podcast or at Holistic Natural Health Australia. That's Holistic with a W. You can find us on Instagram at Holistic Natural Health or at www.holisticnaturalhealth.com.au. That's where you'll access all sorts of articles, freebies, and more.